Well, good morning. We get the joy and privilege this morning of looking into the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. O Lord, thank you for these words. Thank you for these words that instruct us, but thank you for these words that build us up in our faith, that cause us to rise and walk with you in a new and richer way than we did before. I pray, O Lord, that as we look into these verses, you would speak to us and to our hearts and cause us to see you as a greater and more beautiful Savior, and a more greater and glorious God, and a more greater and beautiful Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay. What we have here is some interesting instructions from the Apostle Paul. But the first thing we have to recognize is that these three verses set within the context of everything that he's talked about before in verses 3 through 14. And more specifically, verses 6 through 8 and 9. Okay, so we understand that context. But what is Paul really trying to get at here this morning? Well, the simplest explanation of what he's trying to get at is he's telling us to live our lives in such a way that we are wise and that we reflect the love of Jesus into the people around us. And you can ask a fair question, which is, well, he never says anything in this three verses about reflecting the light of Jesus. No, but he talks about light back in verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but for now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we see the reality that these three verses are just, again, connected and tied to the previous verses about living our lives. And I think it's also important, before we delve into the individual verses, to recognize that these instructions about how we live our lives are not, what word do I want to use here? They're not burdensome. They're not burdensome instructions about how we live our lives, much like the Old Testament covenant law. It did put difficult burdens on the people to live out their daily lives and to live out their spiritual lives. No, these are not burdensome. And why can we say that? Or why can I say that to you? It's because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as believers in Jesus Christ. Therefore, these aren't burdens because the Spirit works within us to make it possible for us to live this way and not feel burdened. And if you do start to feel burdened about the way you're living your life, that you're, you know, trying to obey these scriptures about how to live our lives, then you need to stop. You need to stop and step back and say, where is the Spirit of the Lord? Because if they're burdensome, you're not walking in the Spirit if you start to feel burdensome. Okay. Enough of a commentary before we even start looking at the verses. So let's start with verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. What is Paul telling us here? He's telling us to pay attention to the way we walk. And remember, walking in the Old Testament carries this idea of how you live out your life. That's what walking means in the Scriptures. Then he says here, not as unwise, but as wise. Unwise. What is unwise? Well, obviously, it's the opposite of wise. But what does unwise look like? It looks like, you know, doing things that are contrary to the fruit of light. In verse 11 of chapter 5, Paul tells us, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. To be unwise is to take part in the unfruitful works of darkness. He tells us not as unwise individuals, but as wise people, as wise believers. Walk as wise believers. What he's telling us again, as I mentioned earlier, is pay attention to how you live. What's your life like? Does it reflect a Christian life that you live? Not just on Sundays, but also throughout the week. And specifically when you're on I-25. He tells us to make wise choices. And in the context in which Paul is writing it, we can understand that to make wise choices and to be as wise is wisdom capitalizes on opportunity. It maximizes each occasion for the greatest possible good. Wise means doing things for the greatest possible good. That is also showing the love of Jesus. When we exercise our lives to the greatest possible good. So let's take a look at verse 16 now. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. When he says make the best use of time, it could be translated from the original language, redeeming the time. We are to redeem the time we have left on this earth. Okay, what does that mean? Redeeming the time we have on the earth is to take advantage of it, of every second, as a believer who walks in the Spirit with Jesus and with God the Father. And with the Spirit. It means to take each opportunity when it's presented to us to expound upon and to explain the Christian faith, to explain something that's written in the Bible by someone who asked the question. That's redeeming the time. And when he says, live wisely, I'm sorry, not that he says to live wisely, but living wisely with respect to time is part of being wise. Then he says the days are evil. This current age is the dominion of darkness. Back in his day, that meant that the culture surrounding him or surrounding the Ephesians was a domain of darkness. That's easy to see from their idolatry and their cultural practices as a society, especially their religious practices with the temples. And we can be confident that Paul means the domain of darkness here when he says the days are evil because of what he writes in Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. There we see the domain of darkness is the realm of everything outside the Christian life. And he has redeemed us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus. Now I'll turn over just a couple of pages to Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Being wise is having your speech be gracious and seasoned with salt. What does Paul mean when he says seasoned with salt? That's right, Nava, to preserve it. Salt was an important preservative in their day. And when Paul says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, he's saying, let your speech be something that adds preservation of life to the person you're speaking to, that purifies. Okay, what does that look like? To have speech that's seasoned with salt. If you're in a conversation with some individual or individuals and they start making coarse jokes, as Paul tells us back in Ephesians, and crude talk, do not join them. That's first off. But in response, we would have a response that is purifying to the conversation. A response of something like, I don't appreciate that kind of language because it demeans the other person. Or it demeans the person you're the subject of your language and talk. That's giving preservative speech. When Paul tells us to be wise and to make the best use of our time because the days are evil, he's saying that we should make the most of every opportunity to be light in the world. Remember, we are, as Paul tells us, to expose the works of darkness. And the way we simply expose the darkness is to be light. Can you be light? Of course, we can't be light without the indwelling presence and the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, we can be light. We can be the seasoned speech. We can have the gracious words. We can just be good people. The world describes good people in a certain way, and we can be that by being light. Always speaking with gracious words. That's probably the most difficult thing to do, to speak with gracious words, because when you need to use gracious words, you're usually not receiving gracious words from the person you're talking to. Now, if all you can do is just bite your lip and say gracious things in response, praise Jesus. Praise God that you can do that. That's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Only way you can do that. But to take it a step further in your spiritual growth and you're being conformed into the image of Christ, let those gracious words be building up words. Maybe it goes something like this. You're talking with an individual, and again, they start to bring up another person. in a gossiping way. And when they finally stop, because they tend to go on when they're doing that, when they finally stop, you can respond in a gracious way with gracious words. That builds them up and builds up the other person. So a response would go something like this. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that that's a fair representation of that person. Let me say something to you in response. You are created in the image of God, and He loves you. Also, so is this other person who is created in the image of God, and He loves them too. That's growing in your maturity, in your spiritual growth, in your progressive sanctification. All right, let's look at a difficult verse here, one that raises a lot of questions and sometimes contention. Let's look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And we're going through verse 18. I said we're going through 17. We're also going through 18. 17's not a problem. 18's the controversial verse. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When he says avoid foolishness, Paul is talking about actions and ways of living that do not reflect understanding the Lord's will. In verse 18, he gives an example of what it is to be foolish and not understand what the will of the Lord is. And on the subject of the will of the Lord, it's really talking about what pleases the Lord. The will of the Lord is whatever pleases Him. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of the Lord is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What he's saying there is, this is the way we discern the will of the Lord, is by we are conformed into the image of Christ, and then we are able by the power of the Spirit to discern the will of God. Now, we're only going to get through verse 18 this morning, but in verses 19 through 21, they show what the will of the Lord is for all believers. They talk about singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord and giving thanks for everything in these verses that we'll get into next week. But that's the response. That's what showing what the will of the Lord is in those verses. It is to please the Lord by doing the things Paul talks about and not doing the things Paul tells us not to. And in understanding this idea of the will of the Lord in this particular passage, here Paul is not referring to believers knowing the specific will of the Lord for them as an individual. He's referring to the church body understanding what the will of the Lord is and to understand what the will of the Lord is for worshiping Him and showing love to each other. Now, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. On this subject of being drunk, we have to recognize the dangers of alcohol, and more specifically, the Scripture's admonitions about the use of alcohol. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Okay, this is a pretty significant warning, even to the point you could take it and say that you shouldn't drink at all. Okay, that's a fair understanding of this verse. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Here it's important to recognize that Paul's writing to the Corinthians about the sexual immorality and the things that defile the church. And in the middle of that, he tells us in verse 11, "But now I am writing you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality, or greed, or is an idolater, reveler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one." Okay. These are pretty strong words from the Apostle Paul about don't even associate with someone who's a drunkard. I think I should take a moment to take an aside and point out that while the reference Paul is referring to here specifically with drunkenness is alcoholic use, at the same time, any kind of addiction would fit into these words and into this passage. Because with an addiction, you're essentially drunk on whatever it is you're addicted to. And the struggle there is most of us have an addiction, or at least we did have an addiction. So the Bible speaks very strongly about not being drunk, not being led astray by wine and strong drink. So then you could draw the conclusion that as believers, we just shouldn't have any alcoholic beverages at all. Well, but then we have 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Turn to 1 Timothy. All the T's are together. Timothy and Titus. "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments." So Paul says at the very least, here, one should partake of alcoholic beverage or a small amount of wine, as Paul points out, so that Timothy can be more healthy. Now, I'm not exactly sure how in that day wine worked as a healing agent or as a medicinal work, but that's what Paul is referring to. Okay, but then we have John chapter 2. For the sake of time, we'll just look at the first two verses of chapter 2 in the book of John. "On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples." And then we read on about how the wine ran out and Jesus did the miraculous work of turning water into wine. He was at a wedding feast. Obviously, we can look from the words later on in the chapter 2, the use of wine was a very significant part of the wedding celebration. And in fact, when we look throughout the scriptures, the Old and the New Testament, we see that wine is connected with celebrations, with joy and delight, celebration of marriage, celebration of a new child, all these different instances that occur. And so Jesus drank wine. Jesus drank wine? That's amazing. So what are we to do with that? What are we to do with this reality that Jesus drank wine? Well, to me it seems clear that what the scriptures are saying, and by Jesus' own example, it is not prohibited for a believer to have drink, wine, and strong drink. What is prohibited is drunkenness. You see, here coming back to Ephesians, the contrast between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. One of the important things to recognize about alcohol, and of course this doesn't apply to someone who's been an alcoholic. Well, I mean, it does apply, but it's different. Alcohol leads to recklessness when taken to drunkenness. The Spirit leads to holy and good things. So the admonition here, the clear teaching of Scripture, my conclusion from the teaching of Scripture, is that believers can take drink, can take an alcoholic beverage, but they can't get drunk. Because when people get drunk, they do reckless and stupid things. Right? Our son was telling us of an example. He's moving into a new apartment today. And when he was, you know, touring the apartment and the complex in the common areas, they had this big open space, and the director or manager was saying, yes, we used to have a $15,000 pool table right here. But then some guy got drunk and jumped on it and broke it. That was a very bad day for that individual. A $15,000 pool table, and he broke it. Recklessness and drunkenness. But as I said earlier, the contrast is the Spirit leads to holy and good things. By the power of the Spirit, we live our lives as individuals filled by the Holy Spirit with spiritual love for Christ and our spiritual walk with Him. That will lead us to doing things that are good and holy. Now, this again is my own conclusion. I can't say to you that I have found other commentators or other biblical teachers who have said this, but I have come to this conclusion based on the way Paul says it, that to be drunk with wine, that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, that they're absolute opposites. If you are drunk, you are no longer filled by the Spirit. That does not mean that the Spirit isn't present within you, because the Holy Spirit never leaves a believer. But you're no longer under the control of the Holy Spirit in the state of drunkenness. And that will lead to foolishness. And Paul admonishes us in the beginning of this passage to walk not as unwise, but as wise. And the beauty of all this is we don't have to do it by ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and empowering us to live this way. It is a joy to live this way because of what the Spirit does within us to make us capable of living this way. What a glorious and beautiful thing it is to be a child of God who has received His Spirit. Let's pray. O Lord, You are gracious and kind and merciful. You love us even in our foolishness. But thank You, Lord, that You have given the Apostle Paul the wisdom to write words to us about how we live our lives, how to live not as foolish, but as wise, Lord. Thank You for the Spirit that You've given us that makes it possible for us to walk in Your way and fulfill these calls to live an obedient life to You through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that all of us, as we walk through this week, will have more gracious words, more graciousness in our speech, and that we would live a life that reflects the light of Jesus into the world around us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.